Saturday was a very busy day for me. My daughter Catherine, grandson Walter, and I attended the No Kings protest at Duluth City Hall, and then we had to rush to the Castle Danger Brewery in Two Harbors, where my son-in-law was performing with the Lake Effect String Band. At 1:44 p.m., my watch and phone alerted me to a message Jim Lynn just sent out. Quote, "Chestnut-collared longspur in Two Harbors in the gravel between the Edna Jeep tugboat and the black steam engine display. Very approachable." At that very moment, exactly where I was, had I looked in the right direction, I could have seen birders looking at and photographing my most wanted bird for Minnesota. But I was on Walter duty and somehow had neglected to bring my binoculars and camera that day, despite the fact that so many exciting rarities show up in Two Harbors, Jim Lynn's stomping grounds. Jim is not only great at finding good birds, he's amazingly great at letting other birds know about them. So I should have anticipated the possibility of something good, but I didn't. And 45 minutes later, when we were going to my car parked extremely close to where the bird had been reported, I didn't see any birders, so figured it must have flown away. I reckoned I'd be filing this in my Ones That Got Away stories, but then at 3:52 p.m., Kim Eckert posted, "FYI, the longspur was still present in the same spot when I left at 3:45. I instantly grabbed my camera and binoculars and drove back. I'd barely gotten out of my car when I came upon a small flock of white-crowned sparrows with a couple of juncos and white-throated sparrows. I didn't expect the longspur to be in that flock, but I scrutinized them just in case. In the background, music from the brewery was playing. Two Harbors is a happening place in autumn. Because of the event at the brewery and other fall events, lots of people were walking by. Well, I was first circling through the area. Some passers-by called me over and told me they'd seen a whole bunch of birders there a little while before, all looking the other way. I got very excited, thinking the bird must have wandered into the gravelly patch just a bit further down, but then they said their binoculars were all pointed up toward the top of a stand of tall conifers. Those birders must have come there for the longspur, but they were certainly looking at something else up there. Chestnut-collared longspurs are birds of grasslands, not at all likely to be high up in trees. I kept my focus on the weeds and gravel. Then another birder, Tate Putman, arrived. He'd gotten the original message and driven all the way up from the Twin Cities. We briefly exchanged pleasantries and got back to searching, and in less than 5 minutes, he yelled out that he'd found it. I was thrilled. Tate and I were quickly joined by another birder named Joshua. As we three watched the little guy, dozens of people walked past, some surprisingly close to the little bird who didn't seem bothered. I kept clicking away with my camera, but Tate tore himself away several times to explain to people what we were looking at in a very engaging way. I remember a time when most young birders were embarrassed to tell people that they were birders, much less to use a rarity as a teachable moment. But not Tate. I took my first photos of the bird at 4:53 p.m. and my last exactly 30 minutes later. Oddly enough, and to bring the episode full circle, Jim Lind was at the Castle Danger Brewery listening to music while I was looking at the bird, and being smart enough to keep his binoculars with him, he saw me. But when he stopped by a little while later, I'd already left. I was sorry to have missed the founder of the feast. I was on cloud nine that whole drive home, elated that I'd finally seen this wonderful bird I've yearned to see in Minnesota since we moved here in 1981. The few times I've managed to get out to the prairie areas of western Minnesota, where they once bred in fairly good numbers, especially in the Felton Prairie area of Clay County, I've missed them. And now, along with most other grassland birds, they're endangered in the state and declining over their entire range. One was reported in Duluth on May 7, 2004, but I didn't find out about it until too late. The two times I saw one of these beautiful birds in Colorado, they were at a long distance, a scope necessary to see them at all. Now I'd spent a half hour with one, almost always within 10 meters, and sometimes, according to my camera, barely 6 meters away. Its beautiful spring plumage was right there before my eyes, but hidden away under the tips of its body feathers until time and winter wear them away. I didn't mind. Eric Brunke was kind enough to share his own photo of one in splendid plumage that he took in North Dakota. One day I might be lucky enough to be at the right place at the right time to see a chestnut-collared longspur in its glorious breeding plumage, but meanwhile, just looking at the pictures I do have fills me with joy. This sweet little bird was a gift from Jim Lind, Tate Putman, and nature itself. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.